In today's episode, we're interviewing Justin Nickerson, Director of Apollo Auctions here in Brisbane. Justin is going to be providing a market summary, what he has been seeing on the ground throughout Brisbane throughout the first months of 2024 in terms of an auctioneer's perspective. We've got some great data to share with you, so stay tuned. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome to the Brisbane Property Podcast with your hosts, Melinda and Scott Jennison from Streamline Property Buyers, your local Brisbane property specialists.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Brisbane Property Podcast with Scott and Melinda Jennison. And we have a guest today who's actually, I think, probably going to earn some frequent fly points. You've been on here a few times. Welcome back, Justin Nickerson.
I noticed you didn't say back by popular demand. You didn't quite say that, but I'm back for whatever reason. So thanks for having me.
It is probably by popular demand. We just didn't want to, you know, blow your horn too much straight up. But you have been on five previous episodes. And in fact, since August 2021, in the first episode that we recorded together was episode number 66. The current episode is number 205. So we've come a long way in that time, but you've come on twice throughout 2022, twice throughout 2023, and here we are for the first time in 2024. So we really have tracked a lot of different market conditions together through the boom off the back of COVID, through the retraction where we saw Brisbane property values decline at a median value level at the fastest rate on record in the shortest time frame, and yet here we are again in a market that appears to be, you know, quite buoyant, and we've certainly seen a rebound in that time. What are you seeing, Justin? Obviously, the director of Apollo Auctions, you've got a lot of on the ground experience in terms of what's happening in the auction scene. So, what's been happening in the last quarter here in Brisbane, based on your observations?
Yeah, I think it's been kind of steady as she goes a little bit. It's sort of been what we experienced the back end of 2023 has kind of continued on, really, normality as we sort of know it presently. The one kind of concern, or light concern we had, was that the stock levels were so light in 2023 that if that changed, or when that changed, because it had to, that would upset the apple cart a little bit. But we haven't really seen floods and floods of stock or listings come to the market. We have definitely seen it be a little bit freer and easier than what it has. But that's probably been met with, you know, buyer encouragement, with interest rate holds and things like that, enough reasons for buyers to be transacting in the market. So it's really been steady as she goes the past 18 months. I guess it's the only thing is it can be inconsistent at times. You can have little pockets or inconsistencies where either there's a lot of interest or it's more challenging to get the requisite interest. But all in all, it's been a pretty normal, stable market, really.
Justin, we on our market updates, and obviously a lot of information we use, we go through a lot of the research you do at Apollo Auctions, which thank you for that. We do appreciate that information as well. I know you talk about different things and steady as she goes, and we briefly chatted before we started on air, and you asked how we're sort of seeing things, and I mentioned the different times of year, how that has an effect on the market. So school holidays, and we talked about this in some recent episodes, how people during school holidays put their hands away and say, no, I'm not going to sell. I'm going to sit quiet. Buyers seem to do the family things, I guess. And then post-school holidays, all of a sudden there's action. And we've probably seen ourselves on the ground. That happened in that early part of this year. And then off the back of the Easter holidays, again, we're seeing that little bit of a surge again on interest in the property market. Do you see the same sort of things when you're out and about auctions?
Look, a little bit. We probably don't feel the school holidays as much. I guess I'm the worst person to talk to. You know, my two children, one is 3.5 and one is 4 months old. So we don't really work on a school holiday calendar. Like, we actually had a funny experience where I turned up with my daughter to take her to dancing lessons on a Saturday morning and didn't realise it was school holidays, and they weren't on. So we kind of exist in this bubble where school holidays don't really exist. I think we can notice a little bit of a fluctuation in attendance at auctions sometimes for school holidays, but I don't think we notice an upswing or a downswing in clearance rate. I've got a genuine belief that if a buyer has been looking to purchase and they find a property, they're not going to miss it because the fact they're away on holidays or school holidays are on. What you may have is people that I think holidays are a regrouping time, so they might go away they might have the conversation. They haven't had time to have the early part of the year. I know that was, you know, certainly the reality for my wife and I. We had a frantic start to the year. In, you know, across the Easter break, you actually have time and space to talk about life plans, goals. What does it look like? So it doesn't surprise me that a company, you know, like you guys get really busy off the back of holidays because they probably have had a chance to regroup, work out a battle plan. But in terms of people that are actually firing right now in the market, I just don't think we see a massive fluctuation in that. Other than, you know, people saying, oh, I did school holidays, I don't think it really makes a difference to their mindset.
It's interesting, just talking about the fact that you've mentioned it really is a normal market from your perspective as an auctioneer, and it has been quite similar for the last 18 months. From our perspective, obviously, you know, we work in the Brisbane City Council region. We're not active in the Logan Council, the Ipswich Council, Redlands, or in the northern parts of Moreton Bay, nor are we active on the Gold Coast or the Sunshine Coast. Are you seeing any regional differences between different markets within those areas based on auction activity or clearance rates or the volume of buyers that are registering for individual auctions?
Yeah, I'd probably say the Gold Coast is probably in a touch stronger to start the year. Not significantly, but marginally. We probably have experienced Sunshine Coast as well, is going very well at the moment as well. Regionally, Logan, Ipswich, Toowoomba, it's probably been really consistent with Brisbane, I think, in a lot of ways. I just think it's been that kind of, it's also been price point dependent. The very high end has been really strong. That kind of late ones to mid twos, second or third home price point has been quite strong and competitive as well. It's been kind of probably the early ones to mid ones has been the more challenging price bracket, I'd say, to sort of start the year. And then sub that, it's been pretty competitive as well. So I think it's been that kind of price point and probably suburb or product specific rather than region specific, but definitely the Gold Coast has had a pretty strong start to the year.
When you talk about products, Justin, what are you seeing houses, units? Are we, obviously, we've changed Brisbane, I think, and auctions are becoming more and more the norm, I think. Are you seeing more units come into that space as well?
Yeah, I think the biggest shift has been, you know, 5 years ago, if you had a renovator, that's what everyone wanted. Everyone's falling over themselves to buy it. You knew you had a red hot auction. If you had a unit, you're like, oh, this might be a bit challenging. It's almost inverse now. If you have a renovator, it's more challenging. If you have a unit, you're hot to trot. So it's interesting that buyer interest has probably changed. Affordability has been a big point of view of it, particularly around building costs. Building wait times have led people to really search out finished products. And a lot of cases, people are searching and finding finished products in terms of a unit or an apartment in a location that they would have had to buy a renovator or a block of land to get into. So they're gravitating towards, we want to have kind of that experience right now rather than trade that in for a bit more land under our feet. So, yeah, it's been interesting how that has changed, and no doubt that will continue to evolve depending on building costs and wait times, how they continue to play out as well.
Justin, I know that our team have been actively bidding at auctions where you've represented the seller and as the auctioneer. And in one instance, I recall a property in Tarragindi, I think there were 17 registered bidders on that particular property. Are you seeing any things that you know, properties have in common for those properties where the demand is so strong that you have that huge volume of registered bidders versus other properties that might be more in line with the average bidder registrations, which I believe is sitting anywhere between sort of 3 and 4 at the moment based on your data? Is there a difference in the property type or the location that's really drawing those buyers into some properties compared to others?
Yeah, I think scarcity is the biggest one. So if it's not easy to be replaced by another listing, that's where it becomes really popular. That one in Tarragindi is a prime example of that. Although it needed some work to be done to it, the position that it was on the hill in a street that was really sought after, being held in the family for a long period of time, meant the buyers couldn't easily replace it if they missed it. So that created there. But there's areas that kind of inner outer ring, we call that CBD, from anything from sort of 3 to 6 kilometres out of the CBD, is always popular. And if you have a finished product, home or apartment that lends itself to family living in those suburbs, you're in a pretty good space. We had one last night in Morningside, nine registered bidders, finished. They've done a really beautiful renovation. Wasn't a ginormous home, but it was big enough. Living on one level out to backyard, which is exactly what people want. And there was met with really good interest. So Morningside's always popular because Morningside straddles between being close to CBD proximity for commuting, but also cafe scene, parks, things like that. So those sort of suburbs are always popular. And if you can throw something where people don't have to do work to it on top of that, then you've just about kind of hit that formula.
You're a local in Brisbane, aren't you, Justin?
Sure am, yeah.
Have you got a favourite coffee shop? Because I know you mentioned about coffee shops and things like that. Have you got a favourite coffee shop?
My favourite coffee shop is the one that will serve me when I'm running late for an auction quickly. That's my favourite one. But no, I've got one near I live that I frequent every day. That'd no doubt be my favourite. But I probably genuinely have a favourite in each suburb, depending on where an auction run takes me. There's a few things that I've learned very quickly. One is where coffee, you can get coffee. Two is where you can get coffee after 3 p.m. because there's not many of those. And thirdly, where the public toilets are if you need to relieve some of the water you've taken on board throughout the auction. So I've learned that I could probably write a book around locations in Brisbane for that, I'd say.
And we do know that your favourite's a Piccolo. So we know that sometimes when we see you out and about on the road looking for a coffee shop or for a toilet as well.
yeah.
I know you're big on numbers. Can you throw some numbers at us? So registered bidders, people putting up the paddle, have you got some of that data up to date at the moment on you?
Yeah, it depends on what sort of region you're looking at, but Melinda hit the nail on the head before. It sort of sits between about 3 and 4 registered bidders in Brisbane as an average. Roughly 60% of them are raising their paddle at the moment, which is relatively high. So that's interesting to see. On average, sellers are 9% above the market when they enter. On average, buyers are 5% below the market when they enter. So there's been some real consistencies around the data. The number of registered bidders has increased. And interestingly enough, the active bidding percentage, which is how many are raising their paddle out of those registered bidders, has stayed firm. Usually when registered bidder numbers go up, that number goes down. But it's probably held firm. The other interesting one always of note is roughly 60% of properties at the moment are selling prior to auction. That's pretty normal. And we use normal in inverted commas because the market's always changing, but that's about what is right. When that number gets really high, it's usually a sign there's market changing going on. And when the market gets really low, it's a sign that market conditions are struggling somewhat.
Now, I know you rattled that off really, really fast then, but just for our listeners to understand a little bit, did you say sellers 7 or 8%, was it?
9.
About 9%, was it? So yeah. Just to help our listeners understand, generally in breaking that down in layman's terms, so the seller's expectations are about 9% higher.
What that means in lay terms is that if I go to do a listing, which I don't do, I call auctions, but if I was an agent and I went to see someone about selling their home this afternoon, what they would want to achieve today roughly is 9% above where the property is going to transact.
Yep.
And the other thing you mentioned was that buyers are about 5% below where the property ends up transacting. So based on that, we've got a gap of 14% between buyers and sellers at the beginning of negotiations or as we walk into an auction. Is that the case?
Yeah, so that's buyers opening offers roughly 5% below where the property transacts. So 14% is pretty normal. Again, I keep using the word normal, but it's not a shocking number. That number's been as high as over 20% at various stages. So 14% is actually not a ginormous gap. You're never going to have complete alignment between where a seller wants to sell a property and where a buyer wants to buy it. If there's a utopia like that, I'd love to be a part of it, but I'm yet to see it. The sellers always want to get as much as they can, which is their right, and the buyers want to buy it for as cheaply as possible and save as much money as they can, which is also their right.
It makes your job easier if that gap's closer. If that gap's a long way away, you've got to do a lot of work in the negotiation.
Yeah, that's right. And interesting that, 2021 is a prime example. That 2021, that gap narrowed right up because the buyers knew they weren't going to buy cheaply, so they didn't bother with low offers. And sellers, in most cases, their expectations being exceeded with what they achieved. But that never stays like that for a long period of time, because then what happens is you get overcorrection. So the market starts to drop away a little bit. The sellers don't want to acknowledge it or understand it, which means they then get to sky-high levels. And that was a real battle for us post-Easter 2022, is all the data and metrics that the seller would pull in was to say, well, that one sold in September 2021, that one, et cetera. The problem was that market was far superior to what we saw in the early 2022 region. So Yeah, there's always a challenge there somewhere, but the day they meet in the middle spots, the day that I don't have a job anymore. So I'm not disappointed by the gap.
Can I also ask, Justin, based on what you've experienced in the last 3 months at auctions here in Brisbane, how many properties, and forgive me if this is giving away strategy for you, but how many properties do you believe are sort of going ahead and reaching that reserve as a result of active bidding versus properties where you have to sort of pause, do a little bit of work to see if the buyer and the seller can actually, you know, form some sort of agreement on price to pull that property and call it on the market? Are you seeing any changes in terms of that point within an auction, you know, that we do the buyer's bidding surpasses naturally through active bidding versus having to pull that out through negotiations?
Yeah, very, very few surpass the reserves organically. It's probably, it would be 10% maybe that roll past the reserve without any sort of pause at one point or another. So it's a very, very small percentage. The vast majority, usually there's a bit of bidding. Bidding falls up short of where the owner wants to sell. You then pause, you go behind closed doors, and that's where the real kind of deal or magic happens. That's just sort of how our market is presently. And again, you know, we keep talking about 2021. 2021 was the inverse of that. 95% of auctions scream past the reserve. Very little pausing. Auctions are very quick. That's not the market we're in presently. It's definitely a slower burn, I should say.
Yeah. And it's interesting because when we were looking at that buyer-seller spread, you indicated before 9% or sellers are 9% above where the property ends up transacting and buyers are 5% below. So perhaps that indicates, you know, that could be an indication as to why 10% only roll past reserve during active bidding and the other 90%, you know, are needing to pause and negotiate to bring the prices together, given that sellers are further away from the sell point than buyers.
Yeah, and usually the ones that roll past reserves are ones where that gap's been closed prior to the auction. So they've had an offer in the right sort of zone, the sellers acknowledged it's the appropriate zone and set their reserve there. They're the ones that roll past. Usually there's still a gap there coming into the day, anything from 14% to 2%, and then we come in and try and apply the finishing touches if we can.
And with auction clearance rates in Brisbane sort of sitting somewhere around 60 to 65% consistently week on week for the majority of 2024, I know there's been a couple of weeks where it's dropped below that, but with those properties that are not selling and they are passing in, are you finding that those properties are passing in due to a lack of buyer interest, or are you still getting buyer interest on those properties and the fact that they're not transacting is more to do with sellers' expectations not adjusting to where the buyers are prepared to pay? Like, what is the reason that they're passing in?
Look, it's a little from column A, a little from column B. In some cases, there just hasn't been requisite interest enough to get it done. And in some cases, there's enough interest and the seller just doesn't want to acknowledge that it's appropriate interest at that point in time. So I would say in most cases, it's due to not being enough interest there. That's probably the majority. When you say majority, might be 60-40% one way or the other. But I just think also it's important to acknowledge, you know, we talk about now 60 or 65% clearance rate. As normality, what that actually means is that, you know, 7 weeks ago or 8 weeks ago, 100 sellers sat down in their house and said, in 7 weeks, we want to sell our property unconditionally on this exact day for a price that we're happy with, and two-thirds of them are getting their wish. That's a huge number. Remember, back in my day, as we tell stories, back in my day in 2009 when I started, if we were hitting 40% as a clearance rate, it was a really good week in Brisbane. It's a vastly different market now. It's a really mature market in a lot of ways, but that 60 to 65% is still very, very good going. We've had weeks where it's got to 70, but even if it falls back to 50, that's still pretty good. You know, again, those sellers that are sitting there saying, we want to sell our property in 2 months' time or a month's time for X and no conditions, and then they get that exact wish on the exact day they nominate, that's very good going. So it's a nice kind of bubble we're existing in the moment.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that it's interesting that you state the long-term average or back in the day, 40% was a typical clearance rate for Brisbane. But I think you've hit the nail on the head there. You really have pointed out that Brisbane is maturing as a residential real estate market. And we are seeing more confidence, I guess, from buyers who are willing to actually attend and bid at auction. There's obviously been an increase in the number of buyer's agents that can represent people at auction as well. And obviously, if people don't have the confidence, there is a professional service now available to them. But do you see this trend continuing? Do you see more and more sellers looking at auction as a method of sale here in Brisbane? Because traditionally, we've been a market that's typically sold by private treaty sale. Are we going to follow in the footsteps of Sydney and Melbourne? Is that more likely or less likely?
Look, I think it's more likely. I'm obviously biased and tilting one way. So I think it's more likely, though. You know, it's just been, what you see now, again, even if it's not auction, there's so much no-price marketing, so many for sale campaigns, so many EOI campaigns, so many price by negotiation campaigns, a lot of contact agent, you know, there's so much no-price marketing. So the more that it happens, the more our market becomes exposed to it and it becomes normality. It's almost now, if it's priced, it's like, oh, I wonder why they decided to price it. Like, yeah, it's been in the market for a while. It's funny how that's sort of changed. So I think it will continue to grow. But again, it's that maturing, right? Like, it's the more that happened, the more the people are exposed, the more understand why you do them, you know, the more that they let go of sort of old beliefs or ill-informed beliefs that you can only do them on unique properties, or you need 6 registered bidders for an auction to work. Like, all these things that just aren't true, they sort of get let go of. You know, it's funny, back in 2009, if we had 2 registered bidders in an auction, we just about pull out the champagne and spray each other down before the auction started, and we're that excited. So, yeah, things change a lot. And I just think as auction has grown, it's grown, and that's created more momentum.
It's interesting because when you've just pointed out there that a lot of properties are listed without a price, it's one of the biggest frustrations of buyers, and it's a reason that a lot of people, you know, become frustrated. They reach out to professionals like us to get an understanding of what will their budget even buy. But we even have clients that upon initial engagement are quite scared and timid and unsure, uncertain about going to auction. They're like, I don't want to buy a property at auction. And we'll always ask the question, why is that? And usually it's some perception of you're going to overpay, but the reality is at an auction, you can see exactly what everybody else is paying because the competition is there right in front of you. And when you explain that to a client, it becomes almost a relief because the alternative right now in Brisbane, as you would be aware of, Justin, is for a property that it's a very popular property, it's a multiple offer process where it's effectively you get one shot at it, it's blind, you don't know what anyone else is prepared to pay. And we do see, you know, some people pay well above what the next underbidder, you know, might have been prepared to pay in that situation because it's blind. You don't have any transparency. And certainly at auction, we've seen some bidding activity that's quite strong where the top bidder might, you know, pay well above what the underbidder was prepared to pay. But we've also seen instances where people have purchased properties for as little as $1,000 more or $2,000 more than the underbidder. And then the auction process provides that transparency. So I do see that as being something that may continue to evolve. But one thing that a lot of our interstate buyers don't understand about buying at auction in Queensland is no quote range. Gives them a lack of understanding, even though we know quote ranges in other states like New South Wales and Victoria, they're not always going to be accurate. But I think when a lot of buyers are saying, well, what is the quote range? And we're saying, well, there is no quote range because in Queensland, it's actually illegal to provide a quote range to clients. What's your perspective on that?
Yeah, look, it is difficult and frustrating. If we had national legislation, everyone's life would be much easier, but you know, there's too many stakeholders to sort of make that happen. I just think it's also, there's a lot of confusion about what you can and can't say. And there's also, like, an example is, right, you go to one of the portals and you go to an auction property and you go, okay, well, I'll send an inquiry to get some more information. One of the tick boxes on more information is a price guide.
Mm.
Like, that's a clear inference to a buyer that they can give you that information. So, you know, it's like you need to have price guide brackets. But if Scott agrees, he's going to be breaking the law, close brackets. Like, that doesn't help us at all because it means buyers expect it. Mm. Well, I went to the portal and it said they're price guide, so why won't you give me one? Like, so things like that just make it a little bit more difficult. But at the end of the day, the hard thing about a price guide too is that you're asking a seller to forecast what they're going to sell their property for, and most of them have no idea. Like they think they know the price they'll accept, but that's very different to the price that they might sell for in 3 or 4 weeks' time, depending on market conditions. So, you know, you're throwing a dart on a dartboard on the first day of a campaign, hoping that it hits the dartboard rather than hits the wall and falls off. So I just think it's simpler for no price. You know, buyers tell us they hate auctions because there's no price, but then they hate multiple offers and the lack of transparency. So there's going to be an element to every buy, every purchase that you don't really like. It's just a matter of navigating through that and not letting that sort of steer you away from a property that you really want to transact on.
Justin, I want to keep our viewers understanding that you are human as well, and not just an auctioneer and with all the data. But you mentioned your girls are into dancing, which obviously you're good at, and you're into dancing. Do you get an opportunity to follow any sport in Brisbane?
My daughter's into dancing. Yeah, she's 3 and a half, so she's right into dancing. I do. I'm a big Brisbane Lions fan, actually.
Lions?
So, which I'm feeling much better about life today than I was a week or 2 weeks ago. I went to the grand final last year, which is as disappointing as it was. It's one of the best days of my life. So, big Lions fan. Don't mind the Dolphins as well. I'm sort of out in near Dolphins territory and grew up around there, so I don't mind the Dolphins as well. But if I had a big one sporting team, it'd be the Lions.
Very good. And look, I know we've talked about the auctions and the honesty, as Melinda touched on, with multi-offer, and it is really difficult for some people. I think auctions are the most honest way to buy a property, to be honest. It's transparent. It's very open and honest. As Melinda said, people can pay overs on multi-offer, but you also some people missing out and saying, oh, I probably would have paid a little bit more. And that's really hard to see sometimes. Whereas as we talk about an auction, you'll buy it what it goes for. If you run out of money, you run out of money. If you know what the other person is prepared to offer, and if the seller sells it for that, you know that's what the market's prepared to pay. So I'm a big fan of auctions. I do enjoy auctions when it's run by a good auctioneer as well.
Yeah, they're pretty hard to find.
Love for you.
Present company excluded. But I think they're a really good process. Like, and clearly I'm biased because I'm an auctioneer. But the beautiful thing about this is there's transparency. And transparency is an asset to everyone. The great thing from agents, we say a lot, is that if a buyer misses out on an auction, they won't blame the agent, because they saw the person that bought it from them. In a multiple offer scenario, that the blame usually unfairly is attracted to the agent, because they're the visible part of the negotiation. So that transparency is good for everyone. But also there's a time and a place for auction. There's a time and place for private treaty. And we say about auctions being agents, being versatile is very important, being able to do everything rather than just saying, all I do is this. And you need to fall in line with that is a very important asset to have.
I think we've unpacked some really good information for our listeners today. And I think if I was to come up with the top three takeaways for this episode, the first would be that there's been an increasing trend for auctions in Brisbane, certainly since you've been an auctioneer. When was that, 2018, did you say?
When I became an auctioneer?
Yep.
Oh, no, 2009.
2009, I was 10 years off. Apologies for that. But from 2009.
I must be really, really good. Really
you're holding your age well on video there. So there's been an increasing trend over several years where we've seen auction clearance rates shift from around 40% being normal to around 60% in Brisbane being the norm. The second takeaway I'd say is that the buyer-seller spread in Brisbane at the moment is sitting at around 14%. And if you are a regular podcast listener, you will know that when we recorded the episodes with Justin back in 2022, when we were seeing markets retract, that buyer-seller spread was much wider simply because the sellers were still expecting higher values in a market that was declining, and buyers obviously were quite fearful at that time. The third takeaway I'll mention is that the market from an auctioneer's perspective here in Brisbane is quite normal. We're still seeing, you know, quality properties with multiple registered bidders sell well, but there are those properties that are attracting fewer buyers. And in fact, I didn't dive into that a little bit more. Is there something that you can see that's in common, you know, that those properties that aren't attracting as many buyers, are they flood impacted? Are they properties needing renovation? Are they main road properties? Is there something that you can see as a general rule of thumb as to why they're not attracting buyers?
Oh, I think what you said there is kind of all the above. So if there's some underlying issue on the property, it could be a barrier. Flood effect is a big one because it's right in the the recent memory of everyone. Mm. So flood affected, train noise, main road noise, you know, anything of that nature can just create that hesitation.
Yeah.
And hesitation in the market where it's not flying can be more challenging. But everything will transact at a price too. It's just about factoring into the price.
Yeah, good point.
Justin, I'm always careful to ask this one, but what do you see coming up for Brisbane? Are you seeing lots of properties come to the market? How are you seeing the market yourself? And it could be a personal view. What do you see for the Brisbane market for the, say, the remainder of 2024?
I think we'll see a little bit more property come to the market still. I think that kind of pent-up listing will continue to release slightly, but I think with the way that interest rates are likely to trend, buyers will only be encouraged to continue to enter the market. Maybe not investors as much, but particularly owner-occupiers will continue to be a really strong driver of our market. So I think we're in for a nice 6 months ahead, or 7 or 8 months as it may be, to sort of close out the year. And then it'll be kind of all bets are off a little bit to start next year again. It sort of feels that way. The other thing is we've got an election coming up in October. You know, traditionally election years are really holding years because everyone wants to wait to see what's going to happen at the election. I think because it's not necessarily an election right now that feels like it's majorly in the balance, it's probably not as bad as it usually is. But that could be another thing that sort of simulates the market as well. So yeah, it's interesting times, I think.
Mm.
Perfect.
Excellent. Well, look, I think we've covered a lot there. I think it's time for you to go and get yourself a piccolo and continue your day.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right.
And look, I really appreciate it again. We will get you on again, no doubt. It seems like the trend is twice a year for you. So no doubt we'll see you out and about on the road at some auctions very shortly again. Justin, I really appreciate you taking your time to have a chat to Melinda and I. As usual, I will let Melinda close out and wrap things up. And from me, take care and bye for now.
Justin, thank you. We're always very grateful for the time that you generously give to our audience in providing some insights in terms of what's happening throughout the Brisbane auction scene. So thanks again for your time today.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day. Hey?
Will do. Thanks everyone for joining us again on the Brisbane Property Podcast. As always, if you've enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review. Also, don't forget to share this episode with friends and family. As always, we hope to speak to you again next week. Until then, bye for now.
Thanks for tuning in today. Please remember everything we have spoken about on this podcast is general in nature, and we always recommend that you obtain independent advice in relation to your specific circumstances. If you liked today's episode, don't forget to subscribe or leave us a review on iTunes. And of course, tell your friends about us. If you would like to get in contact, please visit www.brisbanepropertypodcast.com.au or email us at info@brisbanepropertypodcast.com.au. Feel free to send in any questions and we will try to answer them in future episodes.